Thursday, the 8th day of November. The prep tip today is to create a second stream of income. Be different things, different people. You might want to sell your dust collectors on eBay, for example. Maybe start a home-based business. One option would be the doTERRA oils that I offer at thelibertyman.com. Whatever it is for you, you might want to work on that. Most of us could use a second stream of income. We have patient Wayne in the green room, my friend, Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest about 37 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commerce Conspiracy. He's the author of 6 books for sale at Amazon.com. His website is jrnyquist.blog. And we have a bit of a change this morning. At the bottom of the hour, Jeff will take over the show. I have an appointment I need to scoot off to. And good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us as always, sir. Jeff, I got private information from a man I've known since 1994. He's personally acquainted with dozens of active duty U.S. Navy SEALs. He tells me that right now, on the 8th day of November 2023, we have active duty U.S. Navy SEALs in combat in Israel. I don't know what their mission statement is. I hope it's to rescue Americans held hostage. That would be the best use of their time, of these men. But this situation in the Middle East is certainly growing exponentially and could become a regional war, couldn't it, sir?
Well, that's been true in the Middle East every day for the last, 80 years or so.
Absolutely.
70-something years. I'm a little nonplussed turning on the TV and all they want to talk about is Hamas and Israel. And look, we're past November 7th was yesterday. I mean, it's been more than a month since the attack took place.
Right.
And that's all. I mean, I turn on Fox News. It's Israel, Hamas, Hamas, Israel, Israel, Hamas. Look, the Middle East is important, but there's an actual war. You know, a terrorist attack is not a war.
Right.
If we end up at war with Iran, but that's been people have been talking about that intensively. You know, I debated somebody, I remember, at a meeting in San Diego County. Gosh, how many years ago was it now? It was 2007. And people there were saying, oh, we're definitely going to war with Iran now. And I was saying, well, I don't really see that. I don't understand. And, of course, they were sure of it, and everybody thought this was going to happen. And at the end, I thought, well, maybe they know something I don't, but I didn't get it then. And it can always happen. I think China and Russia want it to happen, but the Iranian government doesn't want to commit suicide because Israel's a nuclear power at the end of the day. And if you're going to start a war in the Middle East, and you're going to disrupt the oil supplies of the Western world, Japan and Europe and stuff, you are, because that the only, everybody's focused on Israel. It's a tragedy what happened to the Israelis, and this is an old, long-standing conflict. But the real significance of the Middle East is that our allies are completely dependent on that oil. And if that oil gets cut off, our allies are done. And that's the significant matter when it comes to that. Is what would happen if oil were $500 or $400 a barrel? What would that do? Significant. What if Israel, tragically loses a couple thousand citizens? Tragic, but it isn't going to change the way the world functions. But the other one could cause U.S. to become isolated. Its allies could be forced out of its alliance with the U.S. if that oil is cut off and controlled by America's enemies.
Well, we have more than enough oil on U.S. soil, plus the Gulf of Mexico, that lasts us more than two centuries.
No, we don't. We have enough for us, for the U.S. and Canada. We don't have enough for Japan to share with Japan or South Korea or Australia or Western Europe. And without those countries, the United States can't survive. Because there's other things we need that those countries supply us, that our economy will collapse if we're not in commerce with them.
Well, we have become very dependent on each other. It's an international economy, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and especially our allies. I mean, the kind of configured chips we get from Japan and South Korea, people talk about there'd be an economic disruption if Taiwan was taken over or blockaded. Well, if Japan was cut out of our alliance, those configured chips, our economy, I am told our economy would collapse within 2 years. Now, maybe we could figure out how to do it ourselves, but it would dislocate our economy very seriously. And then there's rare earth minerals and other things that we are getting from third world countries. And if we can't get those, we can't have a full-blown military, you know, because there's a lot of special metals that you need to make. And we've, because of environmentalism, we stopped mining things here.
Absolutely.
So between our left wing, you know, the environmental movement, is really been a tool of the Marxists, the communists. The feminist movement has been, the homosexual movement has been used by the communists and the far left. But all these movements and all of the disruptions or sabotage of our economy, of our military, of the family, of all of our institutions, it's real. It's not imaginary.
It is absolutely real. You ready for our first caller here, Jeff?
Yeah, sure.
Our first caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John. Oh, we lost John. You're welcome to call back, John. Okay. What I understand that the Chinese are building their first military base in Africa. Are you aware of that, Jeff?
Oh, I think they've had. Look, I talked to a journalist, how many years ago? Was it 20 years ago? 18 years ago? They were building submarine base. They were building a submarine base. I think he said it was in Namibia 20 years ago. So, you know, I think China has economic outposts that double as military bases. It's just
well, of
not.
Of course they do. That's a given. About. Of course they do.
yeah. What military base are you talking about specifically?
I saw a headline. I didn't read the details of it.
Yeah. Sometimes these headlines, these people don't understand. If you've been following all along, they've had military infrastructure there for decades, and now they're saying it's the first time.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a link at my website for my friend Command Sergeant Major Page. He's a very dear friend. He spent a year of his life in sub-Saharan Africa, documenting what the Chinese are doing there, building roads, water treatment plants, sewage treatment plants, airports, electric generation plants. The goal of the Chinese is obviously to colonize sub-Saharan Africa. I don't know if that goal includes having no Africans being present like it does America, but that has been an ongoing process for decades, hasn't it, Jeff?
Well, that's, you know, the communists have had their eyes. Africa is a mineral storehouse, sub-Saharan Africa. You know, the uranium that was milled for the atomic bombs that were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki was mined in the Congo.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Where did the Germans and the Japanese both, well, not the Japanese, but the Germans were getting uranium from somewhere during World War II. I don't know where it came from. But they were making, they had their own atomic weapons program, didn't they?
Yeah, they were.
Absolutely. Tell us about your current article that you're writing, Jeff.
My coffee didn't start, and I don't know why, and it's not working. So I just turned the grinder on, and it's obviously not grinding anything. So I don't understand why, because I'm sort of desperate for the coffee.
Okay.
I'm working on a three-part series, and this third part, which I've been working on this for 5 weeks, actually, now. The second part I published last week. It is about, someone called it a heavy treatise on Marxism-Leninism. It's about Gramsci, and it's about the last week's one was about Gramsci and how this plugs into to Russian and Chinese strategy and the corruption of our thinking as a country. But then this next part is about the problems that Russia and China are having and have had because of their philosophy. I mean, Marx was a philosopher. That was what he was trained to do. And he invented this philosophy, and it was adapted by Marx and others to being an actual political system, which, of course, the first thing they discovered was they couldn't make socialism a working thing.
Right.
They were building it. This is what, in the Soviet Union, they never had people say, well, it's a communist country, and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, they had a communist economic model. There's no such thing. They have no idea how to make a communist economic model. So what they had is state capitalism. And a lot of people don't realize that. And, of course, they would try to implement things that would help them understand how they could have a socialist economy. They'd call it market socialism or whatever. And it always they would have to retreat. Every time they'd advance toward communism or socialism, they'd have to retreat back into more and more capitalism. So you always find this in the Soviet Union. They collectivize farming under Stalin. They murder all these people. They starve them. It's a big experiment. It fails. Most of the food made in the Soviet Union was made on private plots that they eventually had to allow people to have because otherwise everybody would starve to death. So in China, they did the same thing. They allowed, agriculture to exist in a market form. Otherwise, they couldn't get by. So it's sort of like what the Austrian economists always said. Eugene Bernbewerk was the Austrian economist who, in 1896, debunked Karl Marx. Marx's economic theory, which was not really the biggest part of Marx. That many Marxists I've heard when I was in graduate school say, well, that Marx was wrong about the labor theory of value, blah, blah, blah. So they've been trying to work through what Marx left out or wasn't able to work out. And, of course, it's funny, they believe in the philosophy because the philosophy appeals to something in their character or soul that they want. But there never has been such a system. And so this is a problem in Russia and China with this autocratic top-down political and military system and its economic system. They're very strong when it comes to politics and when it comes to manipulation and information warfare. They're weak in many other areas, and they suffer from severe setbacks. So I'm looking at what's happened now. We've had the Ukraine war. We've been looking at are they able to defeat the United States in the near term with what they have, with what they're doing, which is not an easy question.
Well, Jeff, would it be a fair statement to say one of the basic premises, flawed premises of communism is that men and women will sacrifice their own well-being, the well-being and advancement of their family, to advance the welfare and well-being of the state? Would that be a fair statement?
That which people will do this?
That the average person would sacrifice their own advancement, their own well-being, in order to advance the welfare and well-being of the state.
Well, no, that's the basic problem. Is that
people won't do that, but the communist premise is that they would do that, which of course is obviously not going to work.
Well, actually, Marx doesn't say that anywhere, and neither does Lenin. What they have is the dictatorship of the proletariat, which they claim is. And now, of course, under Brezhnev, well, more recently under Brezhnev, it became the state of the whole people. The idea is that we have this dictatorship so that we can crush the bourgeoisie, and that once we've crushed the bourgeoisie, we can then begin to build socialism. But, and under Stalin, it was like, well, the bourgeoisie is still there. They're still undermining us. We've got Western spies and wreckers in our economy. And so they make up these various excuses. But the reality is, in the Soviet Union, the slogan was, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us.
Exactly. I've heard it many times.
They took over the state. And, of course, the theory is the state will wither away in the end. Once everybody is, you know, the great, wonderful thing happens. In Marxism, it's kind of like a magic formula. You have this revolution, you kill all the right people, and magically, you get this wonderful utopia. And it's this belief in this sudden transformation of mankind. And of course, Marx, the big caveat that the Marxists will tell you, Marxist Leninists, the true believing active revolutionaries will tell you, is that, remember, Marx said, we have to win in every country in the world. We have to smash the global market. In other words, they have to starve the whole human race to the brink of extinction in order to get this miracle to happen. Right. And of course, what it is, it's just a formula for accumulating and concentrating power in the hands of revolutionary leaders or fanatics. And that's all it really, I think that's what Karl Marx intended. If you read Karl Marx's biography, Robert Payne wrote a biography of Marx in which he went through Marx's life, and he showed that Marx's ambition was to be dictator of Germany. And so a lot of this stuff was invented by him to justify a revolution where he could kind of be the Napoleon.
Amazing, amazing.
He really didn't believe in it, which is kind of shocking. I know a lot of scholars and professors will say, oh, no, it's not true. You know, where does he get that? Read the guy's biography. Read his letters. There's been a kind of editing, and they've lionized Marx. They've turned him into some kind of hero, and he was nothing of the kind.
No, not at all. We got a caller on hold here, Jeff. We got Glenn in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, I thought of something I want to run by you, and I can't totally explain this. I find myself having a visceral, angry reaction to the destruction of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines. To me, this is like an amazing infrastructural project that helped facilitate and you know, provide energy for Europe, and it benefited a lot of people. And they went ahead and bombed it, and now Israel and the United States want to sell ships full of liquid natural gas to Europe, selling by the shipload, which could never possibly compete with the dual pipelines. And I just think, you know, all these years, the Cold War and everything, we didn't have people attacking the Alaskan pipeline. We didn't have people destroying the undersea long-distance phone lines and everything like that. It just really, part of me, is something inside me just really cries foul about this destruction of these pipelines. And I just think it was this, Russian or American communist or capitalist, this represents a real damage to some very significant infrastructure that benefits humanity.
We have a break. Hold on, Glenn, and wrap up this part of the conversation. Sorry.
Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419. Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
As I said to those who joined the government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by the Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner Veterans Day sale is in effect right now. $25 off an Energy Cleaner, 25% off mattress pads at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. Jeff, I'll be saying the entire hour. The appointment I had got canceled. Do you have a response for Glenn in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Look, there was a fiber optics cable in Alaska cut, and they think the Russians did it. There were fiber optics cut in Scandinavia off of Norway and other Scandinavian countries, in Finland, in Finland, Sweden, well, recently a Chinese ship cut a cable going into Finland. This was in the news. Talk about infrastructure cuts. Russia and China are disrupting infrastructure at the bottom of the sea. And as far as the pipeline goes, you're relying on Seymour Hersh, that commie, for your information about the pipe. He has one source. He doesn't have any corroboration that the United States blew up the pipeline. There's a group of Scandinavian journalists who were following these fiber optics cuts by the Russian fleet. They ran into the Russian special operations ship directly over where that pipeline was blown up. That ship was there, and they pulled rifles out, and they had to get, these Scandinavian journalists had to get their boat out of that area, because they were going to shoot them if they stayed. But they recorded it. They put it on the media. The German media wouldn't touch it. The American media won't talk about it. But it's known in Scandinavia. And by the way, that pipeline, the pipes, the Germans have the pipes all built, ready to go. They could have that pipeline back up and running in no time at all. The whole reason for selling gas to Europe by Russia was so they could cut Germany off, or Europe off of natural gas. They could blackmail Europe. And from the Nixon administration, the Carter administration, the Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, every American administration except maybe Obama warned the Europeans, don't build that pipeline because Russians will use it against you. And they did. Guess what? They invaded Ukraine, and then they cut off the gas to Germany, right? And then it was blown up, right? But it can be put back together immediately. So would you rather have American natural gas sold to Europe or Russian? Well, you're an American, aren't you? Why wouldn't you want American natural gas sold to Germany?
Right. Well, it's not that I don't want it. And perhaps, OK, Okay, so if I were Germany, perhaps multi-sourcing might be a good idea. We talk about capitalism. Well, it's not very capitalist in spirit to go around blowing up infrastructure that other countries have capitalistically put in place to, you know, enable them to sell things, such as whether it's oil, crude oil or natural gas or data services, you know.
No, I don't. I think if the United States blew up the pipeline, it was wrong.
If Britain blew up the pipeline,
it was wrong. But if Russia blew up the pipeline, it was their pipe. Well, actually German money paid for it. But you see, I tend to think that the Russians, I don't know, you know, the Americans, we could have blown it up. But I don't trust Seymour Hersh. Seymour Hersh is one guy I don't trust. And when he's got one source and there's no corroboration, and when you look deeper and you find there's these other journalists who can't be heard, who recorded that ship being over that pipeline before that thing blew. Mm-hmm. Look, I know how the Russians operate. They create what's called provocations where you get blamed.
Right.
And this is their modus operandi. I've watched it my whole life. So for anybody to be initially – look, and by the way, the natural gas for Europe doesn't just come on those ships from America. And isn't it good to have multiple sources for your country so you don't get cut off from
blackmail? Yes, yes, because multi-sourcing allows for actual competition. And the competition doesn't have to be so cutthroat.
And really, it's not that bad of an infrastructure thing. They could make some improvements on this whole process. You can ship natural gas around the world. That's a tremendous freeing thing. Because natural gas is a tremendous source of energy. And we're rich in it here. And,
Israel is now known to be rich in it as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a good thing. So, you know, why not? You know, and pipelines are vulnerable to sabotage and attack. So why not be able to load it onto ships, you know?
Mm. Right, right. Oh, no, I'm not against those modalities at all. It's just something great. I used to, when I was younger, if I'd make trips down to D.C. and go through Baltimore and along the harbor there, and I'd see the AT&T cabling ships docked there in the Baltimore harbor. And I remember thinking, wow, what an amazing thing. Look at those great big huge rails. Get that they can actually string this stuff along the bottom of the ocean. I mean, it's like, you know, to a bumpkin like me, it's like, wow, that's amazing technology and infrastructure, you know. And I hate to see things like that get cut. It's like, you know, this stuff's put in place, you know, just like, you know, in wartime, it's, you know, blowing up everybody's railroad.
Well, the Russians and Chinese, you know, it's a fact. They're committing acts of war by cutting fiber optics cable. You'd say, right, why would China cut a fiber optics cable into Finland?
Right, exactly.
So interesting, and it's because China's allied with Russia, and they did it for Russia, their ally. And Russia hates Finland. That's it.
You got any more for us there, Glenn, before you get away?
No, that's it. No, I figured Jeff would have substantive content to bring to this. So thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Take the care. Call. We have about an hour break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a drink.
Dear Liberty Man, my aches and pains are making it hard for me to sleep at night. Ugh, what's a girl to do? Signed, Sleepless in St. Louis.
Dear Sleepless, I recommend Energy Cleaner. The Energy Cleaner transmits a healing electrostatic signal to every cell in your body, flushing out toxins, relieving pain, aiding with sleep. The Energy Cleaner is sold exclusively at my website, thelibertyman.com, and Sleepless, there's a bonus. Signed, The Liberty Man.
Thanks to the Energy Cleaner, I'm sleepless no more. And let's just say there's plenty more going on in my bedroom than dreams and snoring. I've got to go. He's at the door.
I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on the frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie away.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. You want to educate yourself on the worst crime in history? That's the COVID-19 vaccination clot shot, a 20% increase in all-cause mortality. More than 200 articles and videos, including articles and videos by Dr. Michael Yaden, former vice president at Pfizer, former director of medical research at Pfizer. He says, in no uncertain terms, that all the COVID vaccinations are meant to kill and hurt. They're not side effects. That's what they're intended to do. The Veterans Day sale on energy cleaners is in effect right now. $25 off energy cleaners, 25% off mattress pads at thelibertyman.com. My toll-free hour line is 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog, books for sale at Amazon. Jeff, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's a PayPal button beneath every video or article.
Okay.
And that they can contribute to help keep the site going.
Outstanding. Do you have a further response to Glenn's comments, sir?
No. That was it.
Okay. Well, what direction would you like to go next, sir?
We haven't discussed Ukraine, but there's the missile tests and the claims.
Yes, sir.
That the Ukrainians are making about Russia. Russia has tested a submarine ballistic missile from their new Borei class of submarine, I think they've got, some reports say they have three of these submarines in operation. Other experts have talked about six. They plan to build 14, and they're the new replacement ballistic missile submarine or the Typhoon. It's much smaller than the Typhoon, carries about 16 intermediate range ballistic missiles. Anyway, they had a test. The Russians claim their missile was fired in the White Sea and it hit Kamchatka. But we don't know if it actually hit the target, because it could hit the region that it was fired at. It could hit the target range, but it could have been many miles off target. Well, the Ukrainian intelligence is claiming that this Russian test was a failure, that it was far off target. And it's interesting. We don't know if that's true, but the Ukrainians probably have pretty good intelligence inside Russia because that's their focus. At the same time, the U.S., of course, had a Minuteman test that failed. They had to blow the missile up in flight. It must have been pretty far off course if they had to do that. And this makes three of the last six Minuteman tests in the last 5 years failing. And, of course, we have 450 Minuteman missiles, each one with one nuclear warhead, in largely stationed in North Dakota. And this is our deterrent. This is our land-based nuclear deterrent, the most reliable, accurate missiles, supposedly. Of course, the Minuteman III was a missile that was being deployed in those silos when I was a boy. So, of course, they have periodically upgraded or improved the technology on the missiles. But this is basically technology that was created in the 1960s that is, you know, still being used. We don't even have MX missiles anymore. They were retired. That was a newer, more modern system that was deployed in the 80s. So this is kind of, this is not good news that we have these failed tests on Minuteman III. The Russians claim that their new ICBM has succeeded again. The Ukrainians claim those tests have failed too. You know, one wonders if, you know, there was one pundit was making the point that the Russian mathematicians that that worked on the math for landing the Russian lander on the moon that crashed, they were paid only a few $100 a month in their salaries, where India successfully landed on the moon with its lander, its lunar lander, and they paid their engineers $15,000 a month in their space program. Right. So that's pretty interesting that the Russian, I'm not sure that that's from Konstantin, the broadcaster out of Uzbekistan. He's a Russian economist. He was making the statement that the reason the Russians are failing in their space program is because they're not paying people enough. And whereas other countries that are succeeding in their space programs, like India, I mean, think about it. India has landed a craft on the moon. That's quite an achievement.
It is. It is. Well, that's why Russia has to be a virtual prison to keep skilled people, men and women, from leaving to find economic opportunity. A bus driver in St. Louis, Missouri, is making more money than an advanced mathematician in Russia, aren't they?
Yeah, of course. The price structures in Russia are different, so it's not an exact comparison. But when you compare it in dollar terms to other countries that also don't have the same structure, dollar structure that we do, you know, with their currencies, like India, it is shocking to see how poorly paid Russians are. And of course, if you look throughout the failure of the Russian military system, and this applies to China to some extent too, although not as dramatically as to Russia, modern systems, whether it's your space program or your military system, they're extremely complex and require not only sophisticated organization and administration, but you have to have motivated people at every level to deal with the complexity. And that's one thing the capitalist economy, the free market economy, does very well. And it produces these people. And as long as government is able to pay as well competitively, and the government has some kind of competitive bidding system, which is, you know, not always the case and not always necessarily free of corruption, which is true in Russia and China, you can get really good results. I mean, look at the U.S. landing somebody on the moon. A lot of people don't believe that, but landing on the moon, that was an incredible achievement that has not been, since the 12 people we put on the moon, has not been replicated by any other nation. And we actually were, if you go into it, we actually were, you know, we created this technology specially for that mission, and some of that knowledge and technology has been lost since. We have to go and back and redo it and figure out what they did if we want to land people on the moon or on Mars, you know, in the future. So, you know, and there's a question of why do we even want to go to these horrific environments where there's no breathable air, and there may or may not be water, and what possible reason do we have to even go? But there are minerals in space, and there are scientific discoveries. So
absolutely. Well, NASA claiming that they've lost the documentation for the engineering to go to the moon is doesn't hold water, in my opinion.
Well, not the document. See, there's a lot of know-how that things that they did when they built things, because it's so complicated. No one person knows how something was done. You could have a blueprint, but it's like, well, how in the heck did they do this? You know, you had Wernher von Braun, who was a very, you know, you had the Saturn rocket. I mean, this was something to make a rocket like that is that big and it works and it doesn't blow up when you try to launch it. Now, some of the problems the Russians had when they tried to make a large launcher to go to the moon is they had test failures. That rocket kept not making it into space when they would test it. So nothing is as easy as it looks, right? We made the moon landing look easy. I don't know, John, maybe you believe the moon, we didn't land on the moon. Is that your position, that we didn't?
Well, here's my position. We have something called the Hubble Space Telescope. It's been taking photographs all over the universe for 3 decades. They have not been able to point the Hubble Space Telescope at the moon landing site for all these decades to photograph what's supposed to be one of the most important events in human history. That's my observation.
Well, the Indians, the Japanese, and the Chinese have flown over the Apollo landing sites and have taken pictures of them, and we have too. So why haven't any of those countries said, oh, the Americans didn't land on the moon? NASA has published the photographs of the landing sites, and you can see the tracks of the astronauts and the lunar rovers. You can see all the evidence from space. And as far as the Hubble telescope being pointed at the moon, why would they point it at the moon when you've got things orbiting the moon that could take better, clearer pictures? And you've got things that you've landed on the moon. You know, that's an interesting thing. Why would you think, how would they possibly, with the technology that Russia and China and other nations have, how could you possibly think we didn't land on the moon? Why would we? I mean, if you fake something like that, you're going to get found out.
Well, they have been found out. I don't want to, with the limited airtime we've got, I don't want to eat it up with this discussion, but real quickly, there's videos of these various moon landings. Several show the American flag on the moon blowing in the wind, just as one tiny example, which, of course, there's no wind on the moon. We got a call on hold here, Jeff. We got Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Jeff? Yeah, good morning. Hey, Jeff, I got a question for you. On one of the news feeds I was listening to the other day, they were talking about the U.S. Having secret talks with Ukraine over what they would give up in order to have peace, making it sound like it was the first time that the United States had seriously considered peace. And I was wondering if you'd heard anything about that, and or what do you think that Ukraine would wind up having to give up in order for Russia to back off?
Well, I don't think, given what Russia has done, that, you know, I talked to one of the people that was asked to negotiate. So I've heard a lot of misrepresentations of this negotiating process. The Russians pretend like they're willing, but when it came to a meeting, it was the Russians that wouldn't. The Ukrainians have said over and over again that the Russians aren't really serious. And the big concern that the Ukrainians have is that Russia will just use any interval of peace to stay in place, build up their forces, and attack again, which is their pattern, which is certainly what they would do. Just like in the Vietnam War, you froze the Vietnam War with the 1973 Paris Accords, And then, you know, basically 2 years later, when the United States cut the Army of the Republic of Vietnam off of supplies, they just resumed their the offensive and collapsed them. So Ukraine knows this history. Their generals are aware of this, that this was what the Russians would want to repeat. And so unless they can get their land back and get guarantees of their sovereignty, but, you know, what is Russia doing? Russia just recently threatened the existence of Poland and said that Poland is a threat to Russia, and that Poland, it may have to be, if Poland doesn't radically change its policies, that Poland will cease to exist. Now, you would never hear Ukraine or America or NATO say that a country that displeases it and its policies will cease to exist. We don't make those statements. So what is that? The thing is that those people who've seen Russia's behavior and seen the behavior of autocratic or totalitarian dictatorships before, this is a common practice. They use negotiations. You know, the Chinese call it fight, fight, talk, talk. They talk, and then they get something they want, and then they stop, and then they resume whenever they want. They just break the deal. Right now, Russia has backed out of the Conventional Forces in Europe treaty. They've rebuked it, which means now Russia can have mass mobilizations, put many new armies into the field. Now, do they have that capability? According to experts, they don't. And of course, you know, I tend to go with the experts in many things, but I also know that defectors have said that the Russians always keep secret stockpiles, and they might have more advanced weapons that they're fooling us, that they don't have the more advanced weapons. I'm skeptical, more skeptical of this now that Russia's suffered such terrible defeats. But then, you know, the Russians are so into deception. You know, I think that for peace to happen, the Russians have to be willing to give territory back. Many people have speculated that Russia should be allowed to keep Crimea and to get out of Donbass, or some kind of formula where something the Russians get to keep. The problem with that, again, is do the Russians just build up and come back later?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it isn't an easy, you know, former President Trump has said that he could fix the whole Ukraine thing very quickly. And the president of Ukraine, President Zelensky, has said, look, I think this is wrong. If Trump could come here, I could explain it to him in 25 minutes why we can't really make peace very easily with the Russians. And I would encourage, you know, Trump to go and visit and learn, because this is Ukraine is a complicated question. And the Russians, why would, you know, if I'm Putin at this point, and I've sacrificed, you know, 500,000 dead and wounded, I'm going to go for the whole of Ukraine. Why would I settle for just a small piece of it? I mean, it makes no sense. You're trying to put the Soviet Union back together again. When they went to surround Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, and they put forces on the west bank of the Great River, which they did both in the south and the north, it was a double envelopment, they were going for the whole country. That's their real objective. And I can't understand these people who say, oh, they just want the 20% of the country they've got. No. Uh-uh. You're ignorant. You're not studying the whole picture. You don't go for the capital of a country. You don't put units, military units, in western Ukraine if you're not going for the entirety of Ukraine.
Well, would you consider the fact that possibly Russia financially, it's becoming quite a drain on them to continue this? Or do you think
it certainly is, and they've had, you know, if Constantine in Uzbekistan is right, they've had more than 1 million people leave Russia, some of their best people. But Russia, you know, it's in Russian history, the Russian government, the Russian state, the patriotic Russian people, they make big sacrifices to win wars.
We have our last break. You want to hold on to the break, Kyle?
Sure, yeah, I got another follow-up.
We'll wrap this up after the break. We'll be right back.
Shahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Gentlemen. Carl, you have a final question or comment for Jeff here?
Sure. Yeah, so Jeff, you know, if I'm Russia and I'm right next door to China and we are two completely different races, completely different ideologies in a sense, other than the communist ideal. But there's a distrust, normally speaking, between the races. And you mentioned Russia's ability to deceive earlier. So I'm sitting there, if I'm Russia, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm draining my resources here, my military resources. I'm draining them in Ukraine, and I'm watching China build and build and build. And I think there's got to be some level of major distrust between these two nations, even though they have the same ideology at this point. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm thinking that Russia might want to end this war in Ukraine to stop its hemorrhaging financially and militarily for even that reason. I wouldn't want to be draining everything I had in that war, that small war on a small country, or not everything I have, but a big portion of it.
And while I'm watching my next door neighbor continue to build their arsenal, and at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, you know, these guys, they live by deception just like we do. And it's hard, I think, to believe a liar, any which, you know, once they've proved that they are that and their society says that, it's hard to believe them. So I'm just wondering how you see that fitting together.
Well, Russia and China are not just allies. Moscow built modern China. Moscow gave weapons and support to Mao. Russia put the Communist Party of China into power. The Sino-Soviet split, according to Anatoly Golitsyn, was a deception operation discussed by the heads of the KGB in the late 1950s. This split started in December 1960, and there's lots of evidence that the split was either exaggerated or it was fake. There's a book by Nevin Gusak. You can get it on YouTube. It's called Golitsyn Vindicated. Golitsyn was the defector that said, look, this is, I heard the KGB, the head of the KGB, give a lecture on faking a split with China in 1959. He heard Alexander Shalapin, the head of the KGB, give this lecture on this, saying that, you know, we couldn't believe the West came in to help Tito when Tito had an argument with Stalin. And now we need to have a fake split so the West will come in and build up a communist country. Well, Comrade General Shalapin, what country would you build up? China. People have this idea that China wants Siberia. You know what the population of Siberia is? You know how much there's, you know, you, the ground is frozen year round, you know, in much of the soil. You can't really, it's worthless. Siberia is not worth that much.
Jeff, thank you, sir. Kyle, thank you. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, energy cleaner, essential oils. Now, while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever get the guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. The large, beautiful state of Missouri I get to live in. The even larger state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.